Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 5:30 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 28th, and I apologize for the lateness of the recording. I've just arrived back from La Jolla, and I hope to have more news about that visit to Human Longevity Inc. In the next few weeks when we receive the initial results. It's certainly an exciting experience, and I'll write more about it in future. But what I thought I would kick off today with is Bitcoin, because the price a year ago was 12,000 and the price today is 3,400. So we have had a crushing decline, and there doesn't seem to be anything on the chart to suggest that a recovery is imminent. In fact, this looks like nothing more than a step within an otherwise consistent medium-term downtrend. And when we look at Bitcoin on a weekly basis rather than simply a daily basis, well, we can see then that obviously there was a very bubbly activity, and the price is still in a downtrend. There is still the sequence of lower rally highs. Certainly, there is an overextension relative to the trend mean, and that further highlights just how much volatility one could potentially expect if we got a reversionary rally. But the size of the decline also tells us that demand for mining equipment has declined commensurately. And when we look at the declines that we've seen, for example, today in Nvidia, well, it's not altogether surprising that we have started to see Nvidia prices starting to come back down, because cryptocurrency mining was one of the primary sources of demand for the share, for the company's products, I should say, over the course of the last 2.5 years. So obviously the share is now having a lagged effect, and that's I think to be expected. But what it also suggests is that creating a bullish story for some of these shares is going to be somewhat more difficult. AMD has already had the pullback, and it's right in the region of the trend mean, and there is increasing speculation that it is going to be acquired potentially by Intel. Well, when we look at the clocking speeds for some of those graphics cards, then AMD is beginning to come on top against Nvidia. So that is perhaps one of the reasons why the share has been outperforming more recently. But we're at the upper side of the range, and today was a negative day. And these two shares were among the leading decliners in the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index in here today. And it's right in the region of the trend mean. We have very clear type 2 top formation completion characteristics. Now we've had a reversion back to the mean, and when we get a type 2 top, it is more than normal that we get a period of right-hand extension. So this still is a bearish chart, and until we start to see it sustain a move above the trend mean, then that is going to remain the case. Well, I thought the other interesting, particularly interesting chart in here today was gold, because it was really quite unchanged, and that's despite the fact that we had quite a lot of volatility on stock markets. So gold prices remain really quite well bid, and that is starting to raise interest among investors. But is what I think is particularly indicative of that is the fact that the ETF holdings of gold are at new recovery highs and have continued to hold that advance. So I think that's the other big thing that is worth highlighting here. And the third is when we think about the outlook for stock markets. Well, the S&P 500 was well off its low in here today. And there are two primary factors that are influencing stock markets in here today. The first is the outlook for China, and the second is the outlook for the Federal Reserve and other central banks and their attitude towards liquidity provision. So the two main topics are quite intertwined, because there is speculation that the Federal Reserve is going to begin to taper the pace with which it is reducing the size of its balance sheet. Then there is also the potential that the ultimate tapering, or the ultimate removal of liquidity from the system, is going to be somewhat shallower than had originally been anticipated by the Fed. Personally, I think that the maximum extent of additional liquidity withdrawal from the size of the Fed's balance sheet is approximately 500 billion. I just don't see how they can remove it beyond that. For the first instance, is that they need to have enough of liquidity in the system to enable the economy to expand. That's central banking 101. Then they have this incredible size or a wad of mortgage bonds that they can't sell. So that's an additional source of liquidity that has to be stacked on top of the balance sheet. And then, of course, they're paying interest on deposits. So banks have got significant assets that are lodged with the Fed. So that all sits on their balance sheet as well. So that suggests that they're rather limited in just how much they can reduce the size of the balance sheet without really quite a very meaningful change in the makeup of the monetary environment. The market is starting to bet now that the Federal Reserve has blinked, that they are not going to raise interest rates, and they may even start to taper at the pace with which they're reducing the size of the balance sheet. So that is a clear signal to the market. It is something that the market has been waiting for, evidence of a Powell put. That is the big question. If we now have a Powell put, then the market is quite likely to take that as rather good news, and the rebound that we've seen that began back in the at the end of December is going to persist. We're going to have clear evidence of that if we get a higher reaction low. And we haven't quite yet seen the conditions for that. So now the market is right in the region of the trend mean, and we have the potential here that it is going to pause and consolidate around this level. But if the Federal Reserve comes through in a very dovish meeting, then we're going to see this market break on the upside through the 200-day moving average, potentially even breaking its sequence of lower rally highs, and then perhaps we may get some pause and consolidation. And if that happens above the trend mean, well, then we really are talking about the very best of all possible worlds. Of course, the alternative is that we get a clear downward dynamic in the next few days, that the Federal Reserve does not come through with the kind of dovish meeting that has begun to be priced in, and then we would be looking for evidence of a higher reaction low during any kind of pullback. So we are still at a rather delicate situation here. And then, of course, we have the outlook for China. There is one, I think, inhibiting factor in China really starting to step on the gas in terms of monetary stimulus, and it is the fact that their surplus has diminished considerably. And that is, I think, one of the factors that is limiting the amount of stimulus that they can add into the market, because if they were to do that, it would have a deleterious effect on the renminbi. And more than any other factor, China cannot afford capital flight. That's the one, that really would be the canary in the coal mine for China. If the renminbi were to start going down in a big way, then that would open the floodgates to people trying to get their money out of the country. And there isn't much that a central bank can do, even in a closed system, when people are truly determined to get their cash out of the system. Now, the renminbi at the moment is just about stronger than the region of the trend mean. So this has been, I think, a pretty impressive rebound. But neither does China want a particularly strong currency. And that's particularly the case with the trade war rhetoric coming off the boil somewhat, but Certainly, we don't have a return to very friendly conditions right now. So, just how much China can provide stimulus to aid its flagging economy is going to be a very significant factor in the outlook for global markets. There is a clear argument among institutional investors that even in the best case scenario, US stocks are expensive, and particularly so when compared on a relative basis to emerging markets. Well, of course, China now represents a very significant weighting in the emerging market indices, and it's not looking especially firm. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs, and until that has been broken, then we really have to give the benefit of the doubt to lower to lateral ranging. When we look at the H shares, though, then we have broken the sequence of lower rally highs. Now the big question is how much of this advance is it going to hold? And it is just about above the region of the trend mean, but it hasn't quite yet been able to break above that 11,000 level. And it really does need to sustain a move above 11,000 to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond short-term steadying. Meanwhile, emerging markets is an awfully broad term, and Brazil was in negative territory today, and it is really quite overextended on the upside, but this is a new all-time high that we're talking about. So there is ample potential for a consolidation here to allow that overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound, but this still looks like really quite a bullish chart. Indonesia has also been remarkable for its relative strength, and it was in negative territory in here today, and it also has a short-term overbought condition, but this still looks like a bullish chart. India, though, was negative today, and it is now back below the trend mean. This chart does look like it's rolling over a little in here. When we look at the biggest movers in the market in here today, well, you can see that it was not, or there were plenty of finance companies and banks that were in the leading decliners, but also ports. So there is some evidence that India is experiencing some indigestion from global events. And the rupee has not particularly the reason why we had a pullback on the stock market in here today. India has got an enormous young population, and just on a demographic argument alone, it suggests that the country is going to be a buy the on the dips market for the foreseeable future. Now, when we look at what's going on in Europe, the monetary environment is also key here, because certainly when we look at the stock market, we've had something of a reversionary rally, although not nearly as powerful as we've seen on Wall Street or indeed on the emerging markets. And now we're at a potential area of resistance. The euro has been a little firmer over the course of the last few days, and that is at least confirming support in the region of the 113 area against the dollar. But the much bigger point is that the ECB, having so-called ended its quantitative easing program at the end of December, is still inflating the size of its balance sheet. So it would be, I think, rather fallacious to say that they've ended their quantitative easing program as long as that is occurring. And that what that suggests is that of the major central banks, the Bank of Japan is still engaged in quantitative easing, and so is the ECB. The scale of the quantitative easing program is not as large as it was previously. Then we have the potential that the Federal Reserve, which has been the most active in removing stimulus, is beginning to become a little bit less enthusiastic about that endeavor. And we have the potential for China to engage in fiscal stimulus. So there is the realistic possibility that we are going to see a renewed source of stimulus on a combined basis starting to come back into this market. And considering the correlation that we have between the central bank total assets chart and that of stock markets, this has been a meaningful rebound over the last few days. If we start to see this this custom index starting to push through to new recovery highs, that's going to represent a significant tailwind to asset prices generally, and not just stock markets. But of course, there is another important thing that's happening this year, and it's that the Federal Reserve is going to be issuing an awful lot of bonds. They're going to have to, if they're going to continue to reduce the size of their balance sheet at the Fed, and the Treasury is going to be issuing more bonds, well, they're going to have to find buyers somewhere. Well, so far, the price has continued to find support around 121, and that represents the upper side of the underlying trading range. It's also coinciding with the region of the trend mean. So this is a rather interesting set of circumstances, that we have continued demand for bonds, which is supportive of the fact that people have demand for a safe haven. And then we also have the condition that the Federal Reserve and other central banks are looking towards potentially providing additional stimulus. So that is also, and that generally has been beneficial for the Treasury price. And that is potentially why people are also starting to support these prices at these levels, because bonds are one of the primary avenues through which the quantitative easing enters the markets. If that's indeed the case, then we could anticipate that both bonds and equities could rise together in much the same way that they were falling together for much of 2018. Now, when you have such an enormous amount of bonds coming to market, and if we are moving back towards quantitative easing, well, that's generally not particularly good for the respective currencies. When we look at the outlook for the dollar index, the Federal Reserve really started to remove liquidity from the market in 2016. We had a meaningful rally. Then the dollar started to trend down all the way through 2017. We had increased volatility on markets, which created demand for a safe haven in 2018. So the dollar firmed. But if we are moving towards greater quantitative easing, there's the potential that the dollar will weaken, and particularly against asset prices. And of course, gold is one of those. So that is part of the reason why gold prices have been steadying, that I think investors are beginning to suspect that governments are becoming increasingly tantalized by the opportunity to inflate their debt away. And that's particularly the case in the developed economies. So if they are getting ready to really have a massive source of new bonds hitting the market, then that should be deleterious to the value of their respective currencies, and therefore gold prices should start to improve. And that is what we're seeing. Gold continues to push back up towards the upper side of this three-year range. If it sustains a move above $1,400, then we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. And I think it's not an exaggeration then if we were to see gold above $1,400, we're talking about a new bull market. Now, oil prices in here today were down almost $2 at one point, but they are in positive territory right now, and just about finding support in the region of the lower side of what is a three-week range. So far, oil prices have been able to hold the majority of this rebound, and that has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So It has ample space in which to consolidate and still be in a support building phase here. When we look at what's going on with Caterpillar, well, the share price does not look positive. It has been trending downwards for a year already, and there is a rivetingly consistent sequence of lower major rally highs, and it pulled back from the most recent one of those in here today. Well, that is representative of slowing global growth. So central banks do have some evidence that global growth is slowing, and that if they do want to avoid recessions, then this is the time to be thinking about what they can do to ameliorate the situation, and potentially adding additional stimulus is their answer. So I think we are at an interesting point here, particularly because we've unwound the oversold condition relative to the trend mean on the major indices, and we have some meaningful events coming through in terms of central bank statements, particularly this week from the Fed. And that is likely to have a significant impact on which directions direction markets in fact break. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.